Let me begin by introducing myself in a kind of a different way than I did, though. I'm associated with charter schools for a number of reasons. One, I started one in 1995 on the border of Nogales, Texas, and Arizona for 14 and 15-year-old children that were failing in traditional schools. As I went on to do research, I began to research privatization of education in general, and I've been a researcher in privatization of education since 1995. My first book on privatization was in 2002, and much of what was written has come to fruition. I would like to also say that I organized the part-time faculty union at Allen Hancock Junior College, where I was a teacher for 15 years. I've taught 2 years in South Central Los Angeles to second grade students in the late 80s or mid-80s, and I've taught 2 years to migrant children in Santa Maria, California, or Guadalupe, California. I'm fluent in Spanish. I have a bilingual multi-subject credential, as well as other credentials that aren't important right now. What I would like to do is concentrate on what Jack had said. We have seen now 30 years, or minimum, at least 33 years, since Reagan appointed William Bennett as the head of the Department of Education. Nothing more than an attack on public institutions in general, but in specifically for our purposes, public education. We have been told that government doesn't work. We have been told that education doesn't work. We have been told that the teachers are the problem. We have been told that there is no money for schools, and schools have been starved, strangled for over 33 years in the amount of money that they receive from the state, the amount of money they receive from the federal government. This is purposeful. It's not a conspiracy, it's a business plan. It's a very big difference. When you're in a group of people in a corporate boardroom and you're trying to figure out how you can take over a $650 billion industry, which is what kindergarten through college represents, it's a $650 billion industry, and Wall Street wants it, and they want it badly, because they can then through privatization, they can financialize it, and they've already started to do that. Monetizing students, which means turning students into collateral, building up the student debt by using Sallie Mae to lure students into taking enormous loans, now that total over $1 trillion, that can never be paid back. So for 33 years, we've been seeing attack on a public education all the way up to the colleges, not just charter school initiatives, et cetera. The first real attempt of the privatizers to get their model through was in 1992 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, under Tommy Thompson, who was then governor, when they launched what was a voucher plan. Now, the voucher plan didn't go over well, and it failed. The reason is the word voucher. The word voucher didn't ring well in the Frank Luntz community of poll taking. And as a result, once people began to see what voucherism meant, which was resegregation, which was the elimination of special ed programs, which was basically a defunding of public education in its entirety and replacing it with a piece of paper that had to be augmented out of pocket or through the coins in your sofa cushion to get your children an education, okay, the public didn't go for it. So they began to turn their attention in about 1996. Walmart, along with Jack Kemp, the Children's Scholarship Fund, and a number of other institutions were set up as phony faux pas organizations that were to be used as battering rams against public education. Now, the Children's Scholarship Fund was funded by the Waltons. The Walton family was really one of the first families to get involved in donating a huge amount of money to this. So we can go back as early as 1996 and see what they've been doing in an attempt to privatize education. Now, the charter school phenomenon is something that arose around the same time. Around 1991 was the first charter school that was proposed. Ironically, it was proposed by the American Federation of Teachers under Albert Shanker. It was then, of course, hijacked from what were to be boutique schools where students would have one-on-one learning to educational management organizations that were then bought out by and now we have retail charter school chains all over the nation, and that's really the way they should be referred to. They are retail charter school chains, just like you would have a chain of Walmart or Walgreens. That's exactly what these things are. So we need to begin to understand that this has been a long fight, and they have been winning. and they have been winning big time. Why have they been winning big time? Basically, in my judgment, because unions have fought for a little more than a seat at the table rather than a new table itself. We want more than a seat at the table. Okay, you've seen now Obama wants to do the compromise with Boehner over this issue or that issue or this issue or that issue, and we lose every time. Every time there's an attempt to compromise, we lose because it's this phony public-private partnership that they're pushing. And let's break it apart, all right? They call what they do a public-private partnership, that the public sector will partner with the private sector, and out of this will come wonderful schools. Well, let's be honest. The private sector has a fiduciary responsibility to only one set of people, and that's their shareholders, nobody else. All right? So they have no interest in the public whatsoever. What they have an interest in is their shareholders. And so in order to keep their shareholders happy, they need to continuously create profits to accumulate more capital, to keep stock prices as high as they possibly can go. So any talk of a public-private partnership is an oxymoron at best or a mendacious lie at worst. And it really is the latter. It's mendacity. There can never be a private-public partnership. It's just not in the cards. The public owes their responsibilities to us in the public commons. The private owes their responsibility to their shareholders and the people and their executives that receive tremendous bonuses. So we must break that completely apart. Now, this attack on private education has now, what I would like to bring up is that we have been seeing a fight amongst K through 12 people, all right? Those that Jack had mentioned trying to, you know, assure that the public commons, as far as schooling is concerned, or education, I would say, is concerned, remains in the public commons. And therefore, much of the reading that you'll see, the fight that you'll see, has to do with K through 12 schools. I am making the claim right now that that isn't enough. That we must link the fight between K through 12 with the fight on post-secondary education. And that means we have to link the fight against the privatizers in K through 12 with the fight against the privatizers that are taking over our UC systems, our CSU systems, and now are attacking our community college systems. Their plan is exactly the same. Take a look at Michelle Rhee, for example, a graduate of the Broad Institute, all right, who is married to Kevin Johnson, a former basketball player who was the mayor of Sacramento. Bonnie and Clyde have been touring the country, all right, giving grades to school in an effort to shut them down. What are the accrediting agencies doing to San Francisco City College? They are doing the exact same thing, operating as the exact same capacity. They are being used as hired thugs, as gunslingers, to go out and do the dirty work of shutting down a community. Once were called community colleges. If you've noticed, the word community doesn't exist anywhere in any of the 112 junior colleges in the state of California. They are consumer colleges. Their mission statements have been rewritten to reflect business language. Okay, at Santa Monica City College, they have spent $100,000 in the midst of austerity to come up with a corporate logo for the college while taking the word community out of it. All right, so this attack against community colleges is the exact same attack against K through 12. And if we don't link the attacks, if we don't do a spinal readjustment, if we're not savvy chiropractors and begin to put these spines together and begin to see that these are the same forces after the same thing, a $650 billion educational industry, then K through 12 will fight over here and these colleges will fight over there and there will be no unity, there will be no solidarity, and there will be no protection of the public commons. This is a fight for the public commons, for the right to have an education, for free and universal access to an education, for citizenship, for critical thinking, for the development of liberal arts, for the development of an educated population that can make rational decisions if they're going to live in a democracy. If you can't think democratically, you cannot live in a democracy. The ruling class knows this. They want schooling to be transformed as a school to work project, and they want it to be obedience training. They have no interest in education of your children whatsoever. None whatsoever. In fact, thinking is subversive. You do not want your children to think at all, because if they think, they may start asking questions. If they start asking questions, they may start organizing. If they start organizing, they may start illuminating exactly what's coming and what's going on with what's going on. Now, let's take a look at who is supporting this. This is the Obama administration, all right? Clinton couldn't get, do you think a Republican could get through the Telecommunications Act? Do you think a Republican could have repealed Glass-Steagall? Do you think a Republican would be able to get rid of welfare but not poverty? No, it took a Democrat to do that, a corporate Democrat. No Republican could have done it. We have Obama now. He's a corporate Democrat. He is doing the exact same thing that Bill Clinton did in the 90s, only he's doing it to education and every other thing. You got corporatized healthcare, you got corporatized education, you have a corporatized military. This is the agenda of the Obama administration. They call it, and here's the name of it, you'll never see it because nobody will ever cover it, the 2020 Vision Plan, or the 2020 plan of the Obama administration, which has 2 points to the plan. Increase graduation rates to 60% in colleges by the year 2020, and to implement student learning outcomes. Now, 50% of all people that hold a college degree today are unemployed. So why would we want to increase graduation rates? It's because these diplomas are being sold as collateral, as commodities, all right? This is like the mortgage crisis, but it's worse. Because you see, when the banks did liar's loans, and when the banks put forth mortgage-backed assets that they knew that the people would never be able to pay, and they were at least able to foreclose on their homes and take their collateral. But now we have student loan asset-backed securities. And these are being traded in the trillions right now, salt and peppered in portfolios from unions all over the world into countries. All right, what is the collateral that's backing this? It's not the home that can be foreclosed on. It's the future earnings of the students. And that's why they are pushing this. They are reconstituting, or basically forming a coup d'etat. Now, if you think about Latin America, banana republic, it very much reminds you of America, all right, obviously. How do they do a coup d'etat, and let's say in Nicaragua, where I live? How did Somoza get into power? Well, they understand exactly what they want to do, all right? They then centralize completely all the bureaucracy and all the administrators. They fire all the old-time teachers that have any memory of anything that had to do with a liberatory, for example, in this case, education. They centralize everything. Then they then put their peons to be the salespeople or the pitch people, the matchstick men that go out and sell this plan, mostly now to minority communities. That's why Michelle Rhee is Asian, Kevin Johnson is black, Robert Bob from, for example, Detroit, where this was all done under financial management, is black. They are using black and brown faces as front people for their plan so they can tell the community that they are doing this for student success. They use word like success, like student improvement, like performance outcomes. These are all benign words, but in their hands, they are not benign words. These people are sophists. Now, the word sophist goes back to the Greeks, and you can look it up. They believe that might is right, and they use language in a very specific manner to beguile and to confuse the public into thinking that they're doing good work for the public, when in all actuality, they are not doing good work for the public at all. They are destroying the public commons so that they can take them over. Now, who is behind the big push? And I'd like to move into the notion of the community college system, because this is where the privatization fight, at least in San Francisco right now, is bubbling to a head. And I believe there's a meeting tomorrow here. I know that Madeline will speak more about this as this goes on. There's an accrediting agency. It's called the ACCJC. It's made up of 19 members. What do? They're a semi-quasi public-private agency. They have no disclosure requirements, no transparency. By law, their team members are not allowed to speak to anybody. They operate in clandestine secrecy, and their job now is to go onto campuses like a disease, like a rolling skin rash, all right? And then they sanction campuses. They say, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing that. Why are they doing this? In fact, where were they when the for-profit colleges like Kaplan University or Corinthian University or the University of Phoenix were stealing 40% of the $1 trillion in student loans that have been handed out? Were they there? Were they there as a crediting agency? Was WASC there? Were they saying, hey, wait a minute, you're ripping off students? Hey, hold on a minute, your graduation rates are only 20%. Wait a minute, your homeland degrees cost $80,000. Hold on a minute. I called down in Los Angeles to Northern California. Kaplan was running an unaccredited radiology program down there. Where was the ACCJC then? Where was WASC then? They're not a regulatory agency. They're not an accrediting agency. They're an enabling agency. And who do they enable? They enable the private interest in this country to seize, smash, and grab the public commons in a state of crisis. It's called the shock doctrine. And they know of it very, very well. And the power of entrenched interests to protect their habits and incomes. Stage now where we have to change. Why do we have to change? Because the choice is higher education or reinvention or extinction. That is basically what they're telling you. You either accept our throat lozenge, which is privatization, or you will go extinct. But that's not all they're saying. They go further, much, much further, and it gets grisly and even uglier. They call it the disruption is coming. Naomi Klein called it the shock doctrine. It is the same thing. They know exactly what is going on, they know what they created, and they know how they want to solve it. What is the disruption? Well, it's not just the cheaper technologies that are coming in that allow people to be thrown online in classes of 154,000 people with what are now called mediating agents. By the way, we're not teachers anymore, we're mediating agents. They've taken that language away from us as well. You must look at how they utilize language. The sophist will always utilize language for the uncritical mind in such a way that it's benign, but if you scratch and sniff, you will find that you smell the outhouse, not the coffee house, okay? They know the disruption is coming, and their key challenge, educate more students with greater learning outcomes at lower costs. Why do they want to educate more students when there are not even the jobs for the 50% that have degrees? Very, very clear. They don't want to educate them in history, arts, music, liberal arts, or philosophy that I taught at Allen Hancock for 15 years. They want to educate them in what are called science, technology, engineering, and math. And why do they want to do that? They say they want to do it to compete with China, our biggest banker. That's who bankrolls our economy, China. They say they want to compete with China, but they need to do it at lower cost. Why lower cost? We just don't have any money anymore. We started three wars at $3 trillion. We passed Medicare D for another trillion. We gave $2 trillion in tax cuts to the rich. And so we're broke right now. We just can't seem to afford education anymore. This is the insidious austerity that they're pushing right now. It's American chrome-plated turnkey totalitarianism. Here's the question they put out. Can we transform ourselves before we're disrupted? In other words, are you going to be willing to swallow this before you lose your jobs, before you're thrown out on the street? They say the challenge is enormous, but if we don't do it, there are always going to be people resistance to change. And that's why they call anybody that stands up against their program naysayers. You're resistant to change. You're old school. You're just not with the new program. You just don't get it. You want to labor in the trenches of the 1950s. The world has changed. Yes, it's changed. We're in a Donner Party right now. And they're throwing snow on us every day. Every day as they cannibalize us more and more and more. So the answer, well, you're in the old model. You know, the single expert in the classroom, what they call a mysterious black box, all right? They want the new model. The new model is, and here, listen to the words, continuous improvement. Or as Gates will say through K-12, best practices. Okay, these are all made up words in think tanks. That's where they make them up. That's what they've managed to put together since the Powell Memo of 1973, an echo chamber of think tanks. And so they say higher education has developed a common DNA, and that's wrong. This is the common DNA, they say, and I won't read it to you, you can read it. They say that as a result of all this, we're confused, we have multiple missions, we have unsustainable institutions, and so we're vulnerable to disruption. We've got to get on this, we've got to improve this, and now we begin to get it. Here's what we need: data and learning analytics. Isn't that exactly what they're telling you in K-12, those of you? That you need more data, that you need more analytics, that you got to test students more and more and more and more, and have them build schools without playgrounds so students can sit in rooms all day long taking tests, preparing for tests, taking tests, preparing for tests, when the real curriculum is life, and they don't want to prepare students for life, they want to prepare students for tests. Who runs the tests? The venture capitalists, the people on Wall Street that buy and sell each other with the trillions and trillions of dollars. That's who is responsible for this. That's who's pushing all this. These are the enabling agencies, okay? This, the AAUC, the Red Balloon Project, here's what they want. They want open universities, just like in the United Kingdom. And if you haven't read Stephen Ball's book, which is called Education PFC, you should read it, because they've outsourced their schools to Dubai, Saudi Arabia, okay, the Middle East. They don't even run most of their public services in the UK anymore. They've outsourced them to other countries, not to other players within their country. They want a University of Phoenix model in the junior college system and in the UCC system in general. They want to get rid of teachers. They want a world without teachers. And they're going to do it through technology, and they're going to call it innovation. They're going to call it progress, and they're going to try to get you to swallow it. Here's who they're looking for as their great players: the Gates Foundation, the Lumina Foundation, the Hewlett Foundation, all right? And who are they looking at? The companies who they want to replicate the model? The criminal syndicate they call Kaplan University, which is owned by the Washington Post and Donald Graham, who has asset-stripped his corporation. To last quarter, the University of Kaplan University was down 90% in revenues. The only reason you have a Washington Post today is because they bring in the blood, but they're not bringing in the blood anymore. But this is what they want to emulate, and they want the venture capitalists to do it. I'm not saying this, folks. This is being put out by AASCU. This is being put out by the people that are supposed to be working for your children's education, for your education. What is the role of venture capitalists? They're very clear about this. And many of you may have heard of this, all right? They're called MOOCs, Massive Open Online Classrooms. And who will do the run-ups and the startups? Udacity, Udemy, all these here. And you can add edX. EdX was just adopted by Berkeley. They enrolled one student who paid $1,400 for the class. Why? Because EdX charges money to use to the UC system in order to launch their massive open online classes. What's a massive open online class? It means you register for a class, okay, with 154,000 other students in the classroom. You're taught by one teacher. They have all kinds of ideas of how you'll have meetups and breakouts and this and that, but basically you're in a broom closet all by yourself, typing away on a little computer, trying to get a diploma whose collateral is backed by your wages for the rest of your life. The problem is there are no wages, there are no jobs, and therefore this $1 trillion that Obama and the administration is trying to keep off the deficit book is going to fall on the deficit books, but students are not going to be able to pay it back. It's debt peonage for life. So these are just, and this graph will show you, and you can go to Moody's Investors. Okay, they rate education as well. They see this as big business, big, big, big business, right? These here are launching pads. They go to a university and they say, would you like a child in China or in India to get a degree from Stanford? You don't have the technology. Well, we do, so we'll partner with you. You use our University Now platform, and we can then offer classes that'll take hundreds and hundreds of thousands of students. What that means is you can get rid of your faculty, you can get rid of the majority of your classified staff, you can get rid of the majority of your brick and mortar, you won't need janitors, you won't need gardeners, you won't need anybody that keeps the schools up, because after all, everything will be thrown online. But there's other ways to reduce costs, which is what they're all about right now in the age of austerity. Limit majors to 120 hours. Or they're talking now about a 3-year bachelor degree. You no longer go for 4 years, you do it in 3 years, you get the bums rush in and out of college. Reduce bottlenecks in the program for completion, okay? Charge out of state for 30 credits or more. Or like me, I'm 60 years old, if I want to go back to school, I'm now called a super senior. And that means I'll pay $250 a unit so I can keep the access open to the student who's going to take science, technology, education, and math. There's no seats for any lifelong learning. That's why lifelong learning will not be found in any mission statement you will see at any junior college anymore. They don't want you to learn lifelong. They want you to work lifelong. They want you to pay debt lifelong. They want you to incur debt lifelong, all right? They want intrusive advising and early remediation. At Santa Monica City College right now, it is mandatory that students meet every month with a mentor. And this mentor has to make sure that the student is on course. Are they finishing this? Are they doing this? It's like meeting with a probation officer. What's next? Ankle bracelets that contain data that we walk around with? This is what they're headed for. They want to track everything, everybody, everything you do, and then the students that don't make it, they want to throw them on the streets. If their plans for San Francisco City College go through, you will see 30% of the students out of San Francisco City College. There are no public spheres for them to go to. There are no parks for them to go to, no public recreation for them to go to. They will end up on the streets, on drugs, in for-profit prisons, or suicided. This is their plan. Watch out for the MOOC, the supersized classroom. They want to use Facebook and Twitter now as an educational format. So when you're online checking your friend's cute little puppy, you can then scroll down and take your course. And then when you get bored with that, you can go back and check out your friend's cute little puppy again. All of this is being merged into one. This is the technology that is used to replace the teacher. 500,000 Chinese workers at Foxconn were replaced 3 weeks ago by 500,000 robots. And that is what they're doing for the teaching profession. They're roboticizing it. They're replacing teachers with technology, learning with keystrokes, dialogue with didactics, public with private, okay? Wages with debt. But that's not all.
It gets worse.
Oh yes, it gets much worse. How does it get much worse? The Department of Homeland Security has set up in the California Community College Chancellor's Office. They have set up a whole, and those of you that are interested in seeing it, it's sitting right down here, you're welcome to look at it. They've set up, the Department of Homeland Security has set up an office within the community college system. Why? They say there are going to be more demonstrations that are going to get more frequent, more violent, more destructive. They say they need to train campus officials and police to avoid disruption. They know that the working class is not going to sit down and take this. They have Homeland Security all over the campuses in plain clothes. They have lip readers at Santa Monica College. When students get together in groups outside, they read lips with binoculars, all right? They have, the place is so militarized, Santa Monica College. They are in the same unit, they're the same union, the campus police at Santa Monica College, that the Santa Monica City Police are in. So when students who are disruptive or at the college are seen on the street, they're pulled over on the street. It's continuous harassment, intimidation, and fear. This is a real department. It has not only been set up, but I called them on the phone. And I asked them, and you can call them too. Why would the Homeland Security system need a department at the community colleges? And who are these people that are in charge of this disaster resistant California community college system? I called them on the phone. I asked them specifically before the article came out that the Occupy movement was being watched by bankers in the FBI. I asked them, are you working with the Federal Bureau of Investigation? And they refused to answer. They refused to answer. If they don't get their way on a public relations, all right, they will get their way by putting down any demonstrations. This is what they've been set up to do. You're welcome to copy this stuff afterwards. You're welcome to call them on the phone and ask them questions for yourself. In closing, and I will close in just 1 second. This is what we're looking for, Dad. This is their overreaching theme in the new age. It's called shifting power. They want traditional institutions to fade away. And they want the power of organizations and groups to be held outside by traditional providers, outside of traditional providers. In other words, what they're doing is they're centralizing control. They're getting rid of shared governance. At every student body meeting at Santa Monica City College, there must be a uniformed police officer in the room. Let me repeat this. At every associated student body meeting at Santa Monica City College, because of the pepper spray that went on April 4th when they stopped the two-tiered program at Santa Monica College, it is now mandatory that a uniformed police officer be in the room. Why? To take notes and develop strategies, profiles, take names, put them in computers, put them on lists. This is what we're facing, folks. So I would say to you in closing that the big, big movement that I think needs, and Jack said it well, is that we need to organize the working community class in this country to save education as a public commons. And this means we need to unite K-12 struggles with the struggles that the community colleges are facing right now, like San Francisco City College. And we need to call the accrediting agencies out for what they are. They are enabling agencies, much like Moody's, Standard & Poor's, that gave AAA ratings to junk bonds. They give low ratings to community colleges so that they can overthrow them. This is a coup d'etat. This is what happens in Latin American countries. This is what they work with the armed forces, is a homeland security, overthrowing the public sector, means centralizing the control amongst the fascists. This is what's going on in our system. We need to unite this. This has got to go beyond campus by campus and be a united front to save the public commons. Thank you so much.